will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 25th, 2016. Deborah Vales is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Dismantling Demonic Strongholds.
Well, bless the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. And I just thank and praise God for all that He is doing. And I'm happy to be here this morning. And I just love the Lord, praise the Lord, and excited about what God is doing. I'm going to share a song this morning. And I'm glad that you worship the Lord with me. I don't know about tomorrow.
Yes.
I just live from day to day. I don't for its sky may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know
yeah.
tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. And his name is Jesus. And I thank God today for the presence of God, for the love of God, for the comforting of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that he is right here with us right now. Because he is a right now God. Can you clap your hands and just love on the Lord? Amen. Many things about tomorrow. I love that song, and it just ministers to me all through the night. And I'm just so glad for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go into the Word of the Lord this morning. And this morning, I want to talk about dismantling demonic strongholds. We need to dismantle them. When you dismantle something, you take it apart. The Lord takes it apart. Come on. Amen. There are a lot of things in our lives, and we see a lot of symptoms and all this kind of stuff here. But sometimes we have to know what the root is, and we have to get down to it, praise the Lord, in order to really see freedom. And this morning, as I was in my room and I was praying, and someone called me, and I was questioning about this message. And the Lord has a sweet way of confirming his word to let us know that he wants us free. Come on, somebody. And I think that's why we're here today, because we just need more freedom. Come on. And we need to learn how to not only get free, but stay free and maintain our freedom in the Lord. And so we're going to just talk about this for a few moments, dismantling demonic strongholds. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for your people, and I ask you, dear Lord, as we go into your word this morning, that Father God, you have your way. And Father God, bind every spirit that needs to be bound. We thank you for the liberty that we have to walk in you. We thank you, Father God, that there will be no hindrances, Father. And Lord God, we thank you that the eye of the medium is closed, and the peeping spirits, muttering spirits, and all the hindering and jagged edge of demons that would come to cripple the move of God is bound right now. And we thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the untapped power of the Spirit of God. And we ask you, dear Lord, to have your way and bless your people today and meet every need, seen and unseen, known and unknown, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now, in order to dismantle a stronghold, you must first identify it. You must know what it is. You can't really attack something if you don't know what you're attacking. So we have to expose it by identifying the symptoms of demonic seeds that a stronghold will deposit. The Word of God lets us know that we must come out of darkness and be determined to walk in the marvelous light. The Word of God also provides light in dark places. And when Jesus walks in and there's darkness, how many of you know darkness and light can't remain?
That's right.
If you turn on a light wherever it was dark, it's no more. Come on. And I thank God, because when he turns the light bulb on in our lives to expose things that we may not, Brother Merle, understand is there, but light comes in. And Jesus is the one that comes in, and he comes to do us good. He doesn't come to condemn. He doesn't come to, amen, take us on a guilt ride, but he does come to expose. Come on. And the Word of God will come in our lives, amen, and sometimes we may feel a little shaky, like, you know, he's picking on me or she's picking. No, it's not about that. It's just that God wants our lives straight. Amen. And how many of you know you can't go straight crooked? You can't. You got, the only way to go with Jesus is one way.
It's a narrow way. It's a straight way. The broad way is the way that leads you to destruction. But the Bible says that Jesus' way is a narrow way. It's a tight walk. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we must expose, amen, strongholds by getting to the symptoms. And when you get through enough symptoms, you'll finally get to the root. And then when you get to the root, you want to get it out. Come on. Okay? So now, when strongholds are revealed or made known, it is important to recognize the areas that have been affected in our lives, and then we must allow the Holy Ghost to bring deliverance. Okay? Now, I said a lot. What I'm going to do now is just give you 16 strongholds that are identified in the Bible. Okay? And we're just going to break these out, and if you find yourself in there, we're going to pray. We're going to pray a deliverance prayer. And we believe God, amen, that when you walk out, even from this session, that some more freedom will take place. Amen. All right? Now, before I do that, Sister Mindy, baby, as you were back there just now, the Lord spoke to me and told me simply to tell you that everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. I see a plate. It's sitting in front of you, and there's some things on this plate, but what it is, it represents issues and things that you're facing right now, and you got some serious questions, and you need God to answer them. And I heard the Lord say he's going to give you the answers one by one, and what he's going to do, he's going to clean the plate, praise God, because some stuff that's on the plate right now doesn't really need to be there, but it's there because you have to go through some things. But he's going to help you, and he's going to walk you through it, and when you come on the other side of it, you'll see why those things were put before you. But know that the Lord is with you, and he's going to walk you through victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so number one, we're going to talk about pride. And the theme from that, or the scripture is taken from Job. I won't read all these scriptures today because they're too long. But Job 41, it really talks about Leviathan. And if you read that chapter, it talks about the spirit of pride. Job 41, verses 1 through 34. So this spirit seeks to keep you from admitting that there are issues that need to be dealt with in your life. A lot of times, you know, we may need prayer, and when they come up, we may allow the enemy to bring pride or keep us from opening up our mouth. Well, that can be a hindrance. And one of the things that will keep us from freedom is not talking and not being able to express. So you don't want pride or arrogance in your life, because it's a hindrance. This spirit causes you to be high-minded, can cause you to be self-righteous, okay, thinking that you're better than others. And also rebellion can come in. Now, I'm reminded of Saul, because Saul, you know, started out as a good king, but he got off because he got into disobedience. And then he got into rebellion, which led to his downfall. And so when you see that spiral effect in his life, it's really kind of sad, because I believe, you know, he could have turned it around, but for whatever reason, he didn't, and he lost out with God. So we don't want any pride in our lives, okay? Number two is lying. 2 Chronicles 18:22. These are spirits. These are strongholds, okay? This spirit has other seeds that, if left to germinate and grow, it will leave its victim in a state where lying becomes a part of their life, okay? And then, you know, I've seen people that have spirits of lies, and after a while, you don't believe anything that they say. You don't know if they're telling the truth, and they may tell a little bit of truth and then mix it with a lie. It's all a lie, okay? And the Bible says in Revelation 28, all liars will find their place in a lake of fire, okay? Now listen, there's some other seeds with this spirit, such as gossip. Okay, we got to be careful that we don't talk about people, we don't backbite, we don't go behind and talebear. You know, all these are seeds that can lead to a spirit of lying. Okay? And flattery. Flattery is when you say good things about someone, but you don't really mean it. Nobody's done that here, you know. We don't do that kind of stuff, you know. Swelling words, you know. I've seen people do that, and they know they don't like the person, but yet they're flattering them. That's really an offshoot of lying, and it's a spirit, and God isn't pleased with that. Okay. Religious bondage causes an individual to hold on to what is familiar without giving the area to God. So in essence, the very thing can become false or a false God if not dealt with. Slander and accusation are also seeds that lead to a lying spirit. Okay. All right. Number three is fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now I want to say that when I was a lot younger, I really, really was bound by the spirit of fear and torment and fear of death and all of that. But this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, it simply says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." Okay, so even when we have to get up and speak for God, preach, teach, sing, we don't have to have fear. Okay, fear is a spirit, and fear will bring torment. Fear will lock you down. It can intimidate. You can have an intimidation coming from someone, and because you feel intimidated by them, you won't talk, you won't do what you need to do. Come on, I've been there. Amen. Where I felt intimidated by older people, by young people, by mothers, different people, just because of their faces. And I had to come to the realization that it was fear. And fear will lock you down. It will keep you bound. Come on now. But God came to set us free. Come on, somebody. So when you see these seeds here, tormenting, paralyzing, I know that fear can be so gripping that it can keep people from moving about, keep people from learning how to drive. I knew a young lady that for years she wouldn't drive because she was afraid that she would, you know, have an accident. So fear is fear no matter how you look at it, okay? So we must be aware of that. Now, fear will cause you to become sick. It can cause you to get sick from worry and anxiety. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't have any anxieties or worry about anything. Any problem or situation that comes in my life, I'm learning to give it to Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's the first line of your defense. When you get in trouble, instead of calling your friend or your neighbor, come on somebody, call Jesus. Go in your prayer closet. Get down on your knees and begin to ask God, amen, for wisdom, ask Him for direction, ask Him to lead you, ask Him to guide you. And if you got some worry there, why don't you just stay in His presence and let Him take it? And you may have to go back 2 or 3 times. Come on, somebody. It may come back again. It may plague you tomorrow. Go back again. But when you do that, what you're doing, you're learning to give your cares over to the Lord. And I'm learning the importance of fellowshipping with God in prayer and getting a real relationship with Him. And one of these areas here with fear and worry and anxiety, I'm learning don't stress, don't worry. You can't do anything about it. Some of the situations you may be facing right now when you go home, you can't change it. But you know who can change it. You know who has the answer to the problem that you have, and it's Jesus. And what He wants to get us to see is that if we just relax and we step back and say, "I'm not going to carry that. I'm giving it over to God," and then don't pick it back up again, I guarantee you He'll fix it. Amen. He'll fix it, okay? You know stress can lead to heart attacks. People have ulcers. Amen. You know, because of their worry. Amen. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And a lot of times when you don't know, you try to fix it yourself and you make a bigger mess. Come on, somebody. Amen. So what we have to learn to do, we have to recognize when fear is there, it's real. It's a real spirit. It is a spirit, but it's not so much that God can't deliver you from it, okay? All right, fear of being rejected, and we all have faced rejection. Well, how are they going to receive me? How are they going to like me? If I comb my hair a certain way, come on. Over this year, that's what the Lord has dealt with me on, is how I look, how I dress. And sometimes we try to impress everybody. But I'm learning to, number one, listen to God first. Okay. Because He won't lead you wrong. In your everyday life, the Bible says in Proverbs, if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your path. Yes. He'll tell you how to take care of yourself. Come on, somebody. These are things that we may think, well, I don't need God to give me that wisdom. I don't need God to tell me how to. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you done made a mess of some with your money, some with your finances. Come on. We get into trouble. We go spend too much money, and then we turn around and we don't have enough to do what we need to do, but you can handle it. If you could handle it, then you would have your money.
Amen.
Amen. You wouldn't be without. So we do need to acknowledge God. Everybody in here that made some mistakes in one way or another. But guess what? God will get us on the right road. Amen. We got to learn to give it to God. Okay? All right. So rejection is something that, a fear of rejection, perceived rejection. Okay? And rejection can come, really, someone you know could do something to you or say something that really, you're not received. But it's how you receive it. Or it's how I receive it. I could get into fear. Or I could get in rebellion, okay, depending on how I take it. Now I have to caution myself. Come on, somebody. I said, wait a minute, I don't need to get in fear, because fear will turn on me. And that will open the door to other things, okay? I don't want to get in rebellion, because then that's outward. Then I'm going to react the wrong way, okay? So when you see these things happen, Jesus was rejected, but he didn't take it personal. And there's a lot of things that will happen in our lives. We don't need to take it personally. That's why we got to keep a prayer life and stay close to Jesus. Okay? So fear of being rejected can cause you not to obey God, or it will prevent you from being honest. And that's one of the things that in deliverance, you must be honest and open to get the help that you need. Okay. Number four, bondage. Romans 8:15. This spirit creates addictions from habits that have been formed and left to grow. Those bound are under the thumb of sin. And when sin is allowed to remain in our lives, it will cause corruption if it's left untreated. Okay.
Sister, what scripture?
Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. Spirit of bondage. Number five, infirmity. Infirmity, the scripture is Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Infirmity. This spirit causes chronic illnesses, oppression, depression, weaknesses, and if not loosed, can cause death. Okay? I'm reminded of a lady that was bowed low in the Bible, and she was bent over. She had a spirit of infirmity, and God loosed her. Jesus loosed her and set her free. Praise God. And you know, in the Word of God, there are many, many scriptures about healing. And I know Jesus wants us healed. He wants us healed from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's nothing that God will not heal you from. Nothing. Nothing. I don't care what diagnosis you get. Jesus has the answer. It's in the Bible. There's healing for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank God for his healing virtue power. I thank God. And you know what I'm learning? That the Lord shows me something about someone, illness, Brother Merle. If he shows me the infirmity, I know then he's definitely going to heal them. Why would God reveal something and then not complete the work? He's not that kind of God. So, you know, words of knowledge and words of wisdom, prophetic words are so necessary. And we need that prophetic vein, because we need to hear what God is saying and then speak that. Do you realize when you speak the word of God, you're speaking life into somebody's situation? Praise the Lord. So if God reveals it, just know this, he's going to complete the work. Amen. All right. Number six, the dumb and deaf spirit. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. Okay. This spirit causes deafness and the inability to speak. Okay, simply. And it could be spiritual, it could be physical. All right? The dumb and deaf spirit together, you can't speak and you can't hear.
My Lord.
Amen. Unable to hear. I don't know about you, but I always need to hear God. We got to hear God in this hour. You know what I was saying this earlier? I believe that with the spirit of prayer and what God is doing in the earth realm, the body of Christ needs to stay linked into God to hear what He's saying, to know how to pray for the nation, to know how to pray for our communities, to know how to pray for our families. Praise God, because I really believe that God is going to begin to do some things so succinctly, if you will, amen, in sync and in line, but we must be in tune to the Spirit of God to hear what He's saying in this hour. Praise God. This is a strategic time. It's a strategic hour for America and the world, Sister Jerry, but we've got to stay in tune to hear. So we don't need to be spiritually deaf. We don't need to be mute in the spirit, if you will. Praise God. We need to be able to hear what God is saying. And He is speaking in this hour. Praise God. And I do thank God for what He is doing in the body and how He is alerting His people to pray. Praise God. All right. Number 7, jealousy. Now, this is a cruel spirit. Numbers chapter 5, verse 14. This spirit causes division. It causes strife, it causes anger and hatred, and it's very competitive, okay? It's something when you're dealing with people and they're competitive, they can also be combative because there's a spirit of jealousy. And that spirit of jealousy can really cause people to be hindered, and the work of God can get stunted when you're dealing with a spirit of jealousy. This spirit is as cruel as the grave, as they say. And even it's a murderous spirit, because it may not murder physically, but it can do it spiritually. All right, number 8, the familiar spirit. Leviticus 19 and 31. This spirit peeps and mutters and whispers with the intent to gain knowledge to use with the purpose of deceiving those open to this activity. A familiar spirit is someone, it could be even someone could be familiar with you and know you and try to speak into your life, but they're not speaking from God. They're speaking from a familiar spirit. So we have to be very, very careful. And when you have a prophetic anointing on your life, you really got to be careful that you don't get so common with people that you know so much about them, and then God may want to speak, but because of your familiarity, you can easily get contaminated. So you have to be very careful to keep that line and don't cross those boundaries, okay? Yes. The scripture is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. You're welcome. Okay? And right behind that is divination. Okay? Divination, number 9, Acts 16 through 18. And this is a scripture about the young lady that had the spirit of divination. And she was following Paul. And she was telling him, you know, you're a man of God. She was saying the right word, but she was flowing from the wrong spirit. And she followed Paul, and you know, we could just go around and hear people, and they sound like they're from God. But the spirit is another spirit. And so one day, Paul just got vexed. And he turned and he rebuked the spirit that was in that young lady. And she had been, you know, making money for her masters or whoever it was. But he cast that devil out. He just cast it out right there. He didn't trip with her. He didn't, I don't believe he went through a lot of stuff we do. But anyway, praise the Lord. He just spoke to the spirit and the thing left. That's the authority that we have. Amen. We have the authority. Amen. When you see the enemy moving, bind him up. Come on.
Amen.
Muzzle and gag him.
Amen.
Chain him down. Come on, somebody. Amen. We have that authority. Jesus told us to cast out demons. He said that in Mark. Amen. So we're doing the right thing. Praise the Lord. Now, it got Paul in trouble, of course, but it was okay. And it'll get you in trouble when you start doing what God wants you to do. But it's okay. It's all good. That's why I say that all the time. It's all good, and it really is. Come on. I wouldn't want to be doing anything but serving God. I don't know anything else, praise God. So this spirit, though, it was like a spirit of Python, and the purpose was to constrict, to hinder, and squeeze the life out of its victim. That's the purpose of a Python spirit. And we've been in regions where there was such a constricting, where the Spirit of the Lord could hardly move because of the binding of the Python spirit. But when you take authority over that thing, you got to cut that head off, amen, to get liberty and victory in Jesus' name. Okay, so divination. Number 10, whoredoms. The spirit of whoredom. And that's Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. Okay, Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. This spirit causes unfaithfulness, chronic dissatisfaction, and worldliness. Now, I could really go into this, this spirit of whoredom, because you're talking about unfaithfulness, adultery, fornication, and this is in the natural. But people can spiritually be unfaithful to God as well. You know, there's a scripture that talks about God being married to the backslider and all of that. But God wants us to be faithful to Him. He wants us to be committed to Him. Amen. And God has to stay first place in our lives. And God knows how to order our lives and give us well-balanced lives. Come on. But we don't want the spirit of whoredom in our lives, the works of the flesh. Amen. The works of the flesh, the lust, the dictates, and appetites of the flesh. We've got to be free from these things. Praise God. So we don't want any unfaithfulness. We don't want to be where we're not committed. And I'm talking in a spiritual way now, because if you can't pray consistently, you got a problem. You don't read your Bible consistently, there's a problem. Because the Bible says that he that knows to do good and don't do it is sin. Amen. And so we got to know that we got to be faithful to God in this hour. And we got to know and make our calling and election sure. Okay? All right. Number 11, perversion. These are strongholds. Isaiah 19, chapter 19, verse 14. This spirit causes evil actions, doctrinal error, a filthy mind, sexual perversions, twisting the word, and even a chronic worrier. Now, these are symptoms to the spirit of perversion. It's not all sexual, all right? But there are people that doctrinally they're twisted. Amen. The word is all upside down in their lives. Okay? All right? So we have to be careful of that, perversion. And then number 12, seducing spirit. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. This spirit causes deception. Okay? It's fascinated by evil ways and leads its victims astray. So a seducing spirit will pull you out from maybe what's true into what's error. Okay? So you have to be careful. There is a seduction and a seducing spirit that's in the earth. Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, seduces, for example. Because it will, that spirit will, in Revelation, talks about where she seduced the people, amen, to commit fornication. And then she hates the spirit. I'm talking about the spirit hates the prophet, hates the prophetic anointing. If you look in the Old Testament, Jezebel hated the prophets and had them killed. Because they stood for the word of God. Okay? It's a real spirit. All right. Error. 1 John 4 and 6. And the spirit of error is an unsubmissive spirit. When you find people that are unteachable, you know, they're not submissive to teaching, to sound doctrine. And there are a lot of doctrine that's out here today that's not sound. Not biblical. Okay. Is the cause of false doctrine. Victims are unteachable. Okay. And contentious, defensive, and argumentative. Okay. Now these are seeds to the spirit of error. And that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Number 14, heaviness. Isaiah 61 and 3. And we're talking about depression and the spirit of heaviness. This spirit causes excessive mourning and grief, self-pity, a broken heart, despair, dejection, hopelessness, depression, suicidal thoughts, and an inner and torn spirit. Now, depression and heaviness can keep you bound for a long time. I dealt with that for many years, the spirit of depression, and it does or can lead to suicide. Okay? Cause you to think that you just don't want your life no more. But Jesus is a giver of life. And Jesus gave you your life, and there is a lot of life that God wants to bring out of us, but we don't want to let the enemy make us think that life is not worth living. No matter what you go through, if life is in your body and God has spared you, there's something God wants to do with you. Hallelujah. And the Lord will give you hope. He'll put hope back within you. I'm a witness of that, and I thank God for joy. I thank God for life. I thank God for health. I thank God for activity of my limbs. I thank God for healing. Come on. Amen. I think many, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will take what is sorrowful. And the Bible says in Isaiah, he will take the spirit of heaviness and he will give you the garment of praise. Amen. When we really learn the effects of praise, it will change our world. Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't need a band or a crowd to praise God. I really don't. I'm learning to praise God for myself. Come on, somebody. Amen. Through the ups, through the downs, through the ins, through the outs. Amen. When I think about, hallelujah, the goodness of the Lord, glory to God and all that he's done for me, my soul, hallelujah. Oh, my, shout out those sides. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't take much, you know. I'm going to praise him, y'all, because I can just think back over my life. I remember being in a cesspool of sludge. I remember being in that cesspool, amen, where I felt so sorry for myself, and I wore it on my face, and I wanted everybody, amen, to see where I was and pat me on the shoulder and tell me, oh, it's okay. But really, I just wanted somebody to get in the sludge with me. But one day, God said, no, you need to get up from there. You need to get off of your seat and stop feeling sorry for yourself and know that I'm with you. I'm going to work it out for you. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Fix your hair. Put on some clothes. Put some shoes on your feet. Get up from there. Open up the curtains. Oh, my child, I'm tired. Get up from there and change your mind. Change your direction. Change your outlook. Come on, somebody. It's a brighter day. Jesus will help you. Jesus will take you. Jesus will push you through. You better get up from there and praise God and stop feeling sorry for yourself. I don't care if you're down to nothing and you ain't got no more money in the bank and husband walked off and left you. I don't care if children ain't talking to you. I don't care if your car broke down. I don't care if they repossessed it. You still got enough in you to praise the Lord. I had to make up my mind. I'm going on with Jesus no matter what. Yeah, heaviness. Yes. Heaviness will keep you in a stupor.
Come on, my Lord.
Yeah, it'll keep you bowed down.
My Lord, help us right now.
And you'll get to a place where you don't want to look at nobody. You don't want nobody to look at you. Come on here, somebody. Amen. Let me tell y'all something, because I just feel like I need to say this. Lord, the Lord has me on Facebook, and I wrestled with him for a while about it. Why I gotta go? Why I gotta do that? You gotta get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend time with me. I want you to get on Periscope. Why I gotta do that? I just want you to do it. So what that means, brother, I have to get up in the morning, I have to fix myself up, I have to comb my hair, I have to figure out what I'm going to wear, got to put on a little lipstick, y'all don't have to go with me, praise the Lord, didn't realize what God was doing and why.
Yes.
All I know is he said, morning manna, you need to get with me.
Come on now, come on now.
And I said, what do you know they don't be talking about? What's she doing now? Why's she on there? She always doing something. What's she doing? What is that at? But the Lord said, who are you serving?
God bless you. God bless you.
Who you serving?
God bless you.
Are you looking for the approval of man, or are you looking for approval? Who are you serving? So I said, well, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I was talking to my son-in-law. He need to wake up. Glory to God. Amen. I was talking to him because this particular day it was about prayer. And the Lord began to tell me, this is what you need to start with, learning how to pray, praying the Lord's Prayer. So we began with that some several months ago. Didn't know what God was doing at the time. But a long story short, I began to obey God. And every morning I get up. Now I can't wait.
Yes.
Woo! I can't wait to get with God. Oh, shame. My God, it's not about the makeup. It's about my making up with him.
Yes.
I got to get somewhere with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But in the midst of it, he'll bring you out. Yeah, that's what God began to do. He began to bring me out. He began to let me know in my inner woman, you're a beautiful woman. God, you see, God began to tell me that. So now God brought somebody in my life, he tells me that, and it really means a lot. But you know what? It means a lot because I hear it from God.
Yes.
So hearing it from him just puts icing on. Y'all don't have to go with me. It puts icing on the cake. You don't have to be heavy. That's what I'm telling you. Wherever you are right now, you don't have to be there 6 months from now.
Yes.
6 months from now, Victoria, you should be further down the road, glory to God, amen, with things that God want to bless you with as you get linked with God.
Yes.
Get to know him. Get to know the God that you're serving. I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate this even being here. The Lord sent me here 2 years ago. I will always testify because I'm coming up on another anniversary of it. I will always testify. God sent me here, and God uses this man of God. He uses him to push me. Y'all better talk to me today, and he wants to push you too. Some of you got ministries down in your belly. And God wants to bring them out. It takes all of us. I don't have it all. You don't have it all. But we put it all together. They're different flavors. I'm not, I love to hear Jerry teach. You know, everybody teaches different. The Lord told me, just be you. I got some notes, yes. But when the Lord, he go a different way. Okay, I'm going to be me. Y'all know that. Amen. I enjoy Brother Nicky. Brother Nicky has such a prophetic edge on him. And I enjoyed that message last night.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome word. So you know what? We are blessed. I'm blessed to be here. I don't take it lightly. Somebody has been heavy. That's why I'm still here. Somebody has been really heavy. You've allowed depression to stay on you year after year after year. And God wants to deliver you.
Yes, he does.
He wants to make you free. You don't have to be in the same condition this time next month. Just make up your mind, I'm coming up and I'm coming out. And then don't go back to the cave. Oh, many times I'm tempted to go back. But I can't. So I said, Periscope, morning manna. Now, I didn't do morning manna this morning, and I don't never miss, but it's all good. I'm going to get on there before the end of the day, because that's what God told me to do. But it's for my making. Come on, somebody. And whatever God has called you all to do, I pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage you and pull you up and pull you out in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Brother Bobby, thank you for that song.
Yes.
Awesome. Amen. All right, I got two more. Antichrist. 1 John 4:3. Hallelujah. The Antichrist spirit. This spirit denies the deity of Jesus. It's a deceiver and it promotes lawlessness. It denies Christ. Okay, so we have to be careful of the Antichrist spirit. This spirit is seen when a person fails to receive the word of God or goes against the commands of the Lord.
Mercy, Lord.
We have to be careful. All right? And the final one is death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. And Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. We got to speak to this spirit and command it to leave us in the name of Jesus. I preached a message one time, and I believe it was called Stay Away from the Place Called Death. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical death, but spiritual death. If anything is dead, we don't need to carry it. And one time the Lord showed me a person was praying, and they had a literal person on their back. But I saw this, and they were carrying this thing around. Now, how many of you know you carry something heavy, you're going to get slowed down? And as we begin to speak to this person, I said, you're not somebody you're carrying. I see them on your shoulder. And the Lord said, you got to drop that because there's a weight is heavy. It was death. It was just causing this person to be slowful and could not move. And there's sometimes, there's things in our lives, even from the past, that the Lord said, you got to let that stuff go. You can't do anything about what has happened. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm going to press forward to what's ahead. What's ahead is much better than what's behind.
That's right.
So we have to know how, when to let go of things, when to say, you know what, I'm closing the book on that. That's done. And if the Lord has forgiven you of some things, and for some reason people keep bringing it up, you got to get to the point and say, wait a minute, that thing is dead. That's not me. I don't walk there no more.
Yes.
Don't pick it back up. And don't allow the enemy to put condemnation and guilt on you. Come on now. If you've repented and you walk free, then you keep moving. Don't let the enemy put you in a place called death. Because death will stop you. And it'll stop the life from flowing through you. Okay? Now, we know that Jesus overcame again death, hell, and the grave. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to give us life, and that more abundantly. Right? Now, we know that this is a deliverance camp, and I'm going to just give you some steps because as you're going through deliverance and even going through the rest of the week, keep in mind that you need to be honest. You need to be honest when you come up for prayer and or you ask questions or, you know, just be honest with yourself, be honest with God, be honest with the prayer workers. Because if you're honest, number one, you're going to get free a whole lot quicker. Okay? We got to be honest. So we got to even sometimes ask God to reveal in us things that really we need work on. Be honest about it. Be humble. Humble yourself down. When you humble yourself down, God will lift you up, okay? Stay humble. Recognize that you're dependent on God and you're dependent on His provision for deliverance, okay? And then be quick to repent. We have to learn this. We have to learn to be quick to repent. Prior to that, we need to make sure we're forgiving. If we're not walking in forgiveness, as Jerry said, everything stops. You can't even pray for a person when they're not willing to forgive. It's like the door shuts. Okay? And then renounce all evil, all falsity, whatever it is. Renounce the enemy. Okay? Renunciation comes as a result of repentance. Okay? And let me see. We must pray, and if there's warfare that's needed, because prayer and warfare are two different things, but most of the time we come for prayer, and if you really have a mind to be delivered and to be set free, then a lot of warring is not necessary unless it is some real tough strongholds. And if that's the case, we'll deal with that. Amen? Now, retaining deliverance is very important. How do we do that? Number one, we put on the whole armor of God. Now, God gave us his armor, and he gave it to us for a reason. It's a defensive and an offensive weapon, okay? And it's described in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, okay? You need your loins girt about with truth. You got to have that belt of truth on. And what is that? The word of God is truth. We need to get full of the word, full of his word. The breastplate of righteousness, right living, right standing with God. And he'll help us to do right even when we think we want to do wrong. Okay? But God will help us. You know, when someone strikes you or someone strikes me, the temptation may be to strike back. But that's not how we should handle situations. We got to love. We have to let love abide. Okay? So then our feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should wear the word, walk in it, the gospel, okay? We have the shield of faith. When you put that shield up and it's got oil on it, it's going to deflect, okay? The helmet of salvation, that covers your mind. Got to keep your mind covered, okay? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And finally, I added this one, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Stay built up in the Spirit. The Bible says that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're going to be built up. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying to God, yes. But guess what? God will give you back. Amen. There are times he'll make you fruitful in what you're praying. There are times you're just praying and making melody to God. But it's important to keep your spirit up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Okay? You guard your mind and your thought life. Many demons seeking to re-enter attack through the thoughts. Okay? You got to refuse those thoughts from the enemy and replace them with positive spiritual thoughts. Okay? Fill your mind with the word daily. That's another thing I'm learning to do even more, is stay in the word, Jerry. Pray it all day long. Yeah, I got so many prayer books and, you know, scripture prayers, and I still want more of them. Come on, because you can't never pray enough of the word. It will keep you hydrated. So you will never run dry. And I believe in this hour we need to stay well hydrated with the word of God. The Bible says be instant in season and out of season. I believe that is saying be ready all the time. No matter what season or situation or circumstance, you may not think you're going to speak or something, but I can go in a place, and if the Lord says, you need to say this or give this word, I should be ready to do it. Whether I was prepared to do it or not. If you stay in sync with God, come on. He's going to know what you need to do and when you need to do it. And if it's in you, the word is in you, it's going to come out at the right time. So Philippians 4 and 8 is a reference scripture. Resist the devil at the first sign of an attack. Okay. All right. Then we need to make positive confessions. Right. Speak what the word says is what I'm saying. Mark 11:23. Speak the word. No. My granddaughter, bless her heart, she'll come to me with something, and I'll look at her, and I'll say, did you pray? She said, Mimo, I knew you was going to ask me that. Because nothing goes without prayer. Pray about everything. Come on. Amen. God has an answer for everything. Then number three, we want to stay in the Word. I'll give you just a few points of the Word. The Word is a mirror. According to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Yes, it will show us where we are. It will reveal who we are. Sometimes we like what we see in the mirror. Sometimes we don't. But it's okay. Those times when I don't, I got to work on it. And Jerry, we've taken your saying, you know, we say it a lot now. We're works in progress. We really are. You know, but I want the Lord to keep working on me. Amen. Don't stop. Number two, the word is a lamp to our feet for guidance, according to Psalms 119:105. The word will lead us and guide us. It won't lead you into darkness. Okay. The word is a cleansing agent, according to Ephesians 5:25-26. Washes us white as snow. The word is a two-edged sword, according to Hebrews 4:12. Now it appears and cut, but heal at the same time. How is that possible? How can something cut you and at the same time come right back out and you still throw your hands up and say, God, I love you. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for the instruction. Come on. He's that kind of God. He's a loving God. All right? And finally, the word is food for our spirit, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Okay, like sincere babes, we should desire the milk of the word. Okay, so in order to maintain deliverance, we definitely need the word of God, according to Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3. Okay, then we must, number 4, we must crucify the flesh. Okay, we have to die daily. The Bible says that. All right, Paul said, I die daily. Now, I'm going to give you this reference, Galatians 5:19-24. It talks about the works of the flesh, but it also talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And if we crucify the flesh, then we won't live after it. We'll live after the Spirit. So we have a choice to make. All right, we've got to crucify the flesh. And then 5, we must develop a life of continuous praise and power. Amen. Continually have a praise.
Yes.
Okay. Praise will silence the enemy. Praise is an attitude of the heart. It's an expression to God of thankfulness, adoration, and joy. Whether we speak it, sing it, shout it, dance, leap, or clap our hands, we need to know how to praise Him and worship Him, okay? Number 6. And that scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Okay? Number 6. Maintain a life of fellowship and spiritual ministry. Find and fulfill your function within the body of Christ. Keep yourself under authority. Very important. Be accountable. Be accountable. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 14. And finally, number 7, commit yourself totally to Christ. Determine that every thought, word, and action will reflect the very nature of Christ. Abide in Christ that the fruit of the Spirit might come forth in abundance. Faith and trust in God is the greatest weapon against the enemy's lies. By doing these things, we will ensure that our house or our life is filled after having been cleansed. If a spirit should trick you, the enemy come in, as soon as you know, bind him, pray, get it out, cast it out, don't stay there, don't let him germinate, don't let him grow, don't let it fester. Okay, if you need to get help from others, do that. If other areas of demonic activity in your life are brought to light, seek deliverance. Seek to be free. According to Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word today. Now, Lord, as we have gone through these various strongholds, Father God, we pray that if there are any areas in our life that are not right, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal, because you are a revealer. We come against the spirit of pride. Come against arrogance, stubbornness, disobedience, and rebellion. Father, remove any of these things from our lives in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of lies. Father God, even fantasies. We come against every demonic stronghold of lying, procrastinating even, gossiping, backbiting, judging, criticizing. And Father, we ask that truth will be put down in our bellies. We come against the spirit of fear. And Father, if anyone is bound with fear right now, we ask you, God, to free them and liberate them in the name of Jesus. Fear of failures.
Yes, Lord.
Fear of even being disappointed, making the wrong decisions. Some have gone down the wrong roads. Father God, but we ask that you bring deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Come against the bondages of fear and intimidation in the name of Jesus. If any of these areas, just pray. Just begin to pray and call these things out. Just blow them out. Come on, somebody. Jesus came to set you free today in every area of your life. Stubbornness. I come against even stubbornness. We come against resistance in Jesus' name. We come against bondages in the mind, the strongholds of the mind. And I come against mind-blinding spirits in Jesus' name, deceptions in Jesus' name. We come against where the enemy is talking in your mind. You want to do one thing and you know to do right, but then the enemy is speaking at you. And you can't, it's like a double-mindedness. So I come against schizophrenic spirits. I come against the double-minded, the two minds in Jesus' name. And we take authority over it right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, I ask that you uproot everything that's not like you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against infirmities and frailties and sicknesses and diseases. I speak against cancers and I speak against high blood pressures and diabetes and, Father God, eye conditions, ear conditions. We come against bacterial infections in Jesus' name. We come against strongholds of illness and all these things in the name of Jesus that is laying the bodies down and keeping us from our potential in the name of Jesus. We even come against eating disorders and addictions with food and gluttony and all these things, Father. We come against it in Jesus' name and we take authority over it by the power of the Holy Ghost. We come against even idolatry, self-idolatry. We come against it now. We will not put ourselves on a post to be idolized in Jesus' name. We come against, we ask God, did you pull down those false gods? In Jesus' name, even self-righteousness, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we're to only worship you and you only, God. So Lord, help us not to have any other God up before you, God, in the name of Jesus. Not material things, not people, not ministries even, not material, not anything, God, other than you in Jesus' mighty name. We come against the dumb and the deaf spirit now. Oh God, all the deafness that would come deaf to dreams and where the enemy has brought deaf, not literal deaf, but a deafness where we can't hear you, Father God. Help us to hear you in our inner man and inner woman in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of jealousy and Jezebel and Ahab. We come against all these spirits that would come against the people of God. We come against all familiar spirits and divining spirits in Jesus' name. All whoredom spirits, perverted spirits in Jesus' name. We break their strongholds right now. All addictions in Jesus' name. All lust and lasciviousness and all these unclean spirits and lewd spirits. We come against it now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for delivering us from the spirit of error. Father, give us teachable spirits. And Lord, we thank you, God, for delivering from the spirit of heaviness and depression. Worry and fear and anxiety be broken off of your people, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you for destroying the spirit of Antichrist. For there is a spirit of Antichrist in the earth realm. But Father, help us to have teachable spirits. Help us to be open to you, Father, to receive your word. And we thank you, God, that Jesus defeated death hell, and the grave. We thank you, God. We will speak life over our bodies, over our lives, over our ministries, over our homes, over our children. In Jesus' name, we speak life today and not death. For God, we are the head and we're not the tail. We're above and we're not beneath. And so, God, we thank you for the life of God. And I speak life into your people right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So we take authority over the enemy now. And we thank you for victory. We thank you, Lord, that we will stay clothed with the armor of God. We will keep our head covered with the helmet of salvation. We will keep our loins covered about with the girdle of truth. And we will continue to walk with the breastplate of righteousness. And we will keep our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we will carry the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And we will pray in the Spirit, oh God, according to your unction and according to your anointing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We thank you for victory now. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and give God the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if by chance anyone you do would like to have personal prayer, amen, I want to open it up if it's okay. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, you can come and we will pray. Jerry, will you come help me? Amen. And I know the workers come. Amen. We'll pray with you. Praise the Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.